Tower, BWA, mobile.
Clay, KD2BNG, how you doing?
Evening, Glenn.
Not all that successfully to stay warm. It was colder, quite a bit colder this morning. It's warming up now, huh?
Yeah, it's been cold. You know, it's not bad right now. My thermometer here on Wood Road says 64 degrees. It's not bad. But I tell you what, the night before it was not very pleasant. I got out the wood pile, fired up the old wood stove, and we had the house at 76 to 77 degrees all night long. And the heat pump never came on, so I saved some power, saved some effort, and stayed real warm. It worked out good. Thank goodness I put that old wood stove in.
Place. I don't know that I trust it. You know, the mobile home fireplaces are sometimes, and I should probably get the same thing. The wood stove that goes inside the fireplace, and the exhaust pipe goes up the existing chimney. That would probably get it so hot in here you'd have to open a window.
Looks like you've used a wood stove before.
Nerd.
Tell you what, you can get smaller wood stoves, and they really do a good job. But mine is good for like 1,800 square feet. I can put a whole bunch of wood in it, and it'll burn from about midnight till about 6 a.m., and I'll go back in about 7 o'clock in the morning and open it up, throw in a few pieces of kindling and the coals that are still there. It'll fire right back up, and I got a fire going for the rest of the day. Tell you what, it's a good one.
If you do something like that. Yeah, I think I've explained before what happened to this one. It hasn't worked in a dozen years because it's, I'm listening to, you know, there's something in the crawl space, man. Something's down there. I look inside one of the heat, the floor vents, and there's, you know, a little furry face looking up at me. So that's what happened during one very, very, very cold winter. They got in the heating ducts and probably ripped big holes in them.
We all want to stay warm, too. You can't blame them for that. And when it gets that cold outside, hey, everybody tries to come in where the heat is.
But in all this time, I maybe should have gone down there and see what the damage to the system was and if it was how hard it would be to fix it. Because I don't know if there's holes in the heating vents or there's just, you know, places where the vent got disconnected or whatever it is. But it might be nice to have central heat sometime. But if I didn't do it in all these years, I'm probably not going to do it.
If you want a real good reference, I know a guy that's real honest and he's very reasonable.
Cooling. I don't even know if the electric furnace still works. I mean, I imagine that it should.
He's worked on about everything coming and going. He can tell you whether it's any good or not.
That many months of the year where it's really all that terribly bad, so I guess I'll manage until, I say that every winter. I guess I'll manage for right now.
I'm down in a little hole. Have you got me at all?
I have you. If you don't have me, I might be able to boost power.
Now, I think I was down in a little hole here on Woodruff Road. It was real scratchy all the way. As a matter of fact, it's still a little bit scratchy. But, yeah, I've got you now.
Do this, the radio kind of gets warm, you know, especially a long key down of like a minute or two. It's one of these commercial radios that could probably take it, but, you know, there's no fan in here that I know of.
Yep, I know what you mean. Well, I'm just kind of motoring along back towards the house. Do not go anywhere near 85. Anyone within earshot of me, don't go anywhere near 85 as usual. It's backed up from about a half a mile south of Pelham Road to just short of the BMW plant at 101.
That's not good.
Two accidents there at Pelham Road. and it's backed up going north trying to get past the interchange at Pelham Road. So, it, you know, what can I say? It's South Carolina highways. They're always behind the curve.
That earlier, and I sort of had to interrupt them to say, you never driven through like the New York City area, have you? There's some very seriously bad roads.
Have driven through the city. As a matter of fact, I went out to Long Island from New Jersey, crossed over the Washington, George Washington Bridge, over into the island and out the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, trying to get out to Comac. Oh my God, that's just.
Okay, down the end of the island. Okay, the Verrazano Bridge took you from Staten Island, like way. Well, it depends from where you came. I would have taken one of the tunnels. What I used to do is, if I were going out that way, I would take the Hollow Tunnel to West Side Highway, and then you could go across 59th Street Bridge on the Queens Boulevard, and that takes you pretty much a straight shot to Long Island, to like the Long Island Expressway, or one of those. But, yeah, I used to have some better ways to get in and out of New York. Yeah, I guess what you say isn't that bad.
But from the south, and I did it the wrong way. I came up through New Jersey and crossed over from New Jersey into the city and went right under the Brooklyn Bridge and crossed over into the city. And then out onto the island out that way, and out on Long Island. And Comac is out there kind of near Islip. It's just a little bit further out than Islip, I believe.
Thirds of the way down the island. I'm not even sure when was the last time I ever tried to go out that far. Yeah, it's down there. It's past Islip. Yeah, I mean, if I were going there from here, and this is a way I've taken quite a few times, I-95 is not your best. What is it? I-85 to somewhere near Charlotte, and then I-77, I-81, I-78. You know, those interstates, which basically take you through the Shenandoah Valley, basically through the, you know, the west edge of Virginia. That's the route the truckers usually use.
It looked like it was a lot further travel, but I should have come in from the Philly side. If I'd have come in through Philly, I could have dropped on the island, gone right out to Manhattan, and gone right out to the LIE, and gone right on out. But, you know, that was my first time driving in there. I'd been out there many times. That was my first time driving. So, you know, live and learn.
Yep, camped through the city and nearby areas for probably about 2 years or so. It's you know, it can be a challenge. And, believe it or not, trying to get my driver's license back, I actually failed the driving test 2 or 3 times. I finally managed to get it back. After suspension within suspension within suspension, going back how long, I don't remember. So, yeah, I finally got a damn valid South Carolina license. Although I had one for years before that. It's a complicated story.
You know, I'm sure they don't appreciate people riding around on 2 wheels down through the city.
I'm actually a pretty conservative driver. Now, when you go back up north, yeah, maybe your driving habits have to change a little bit. If you're, too slow, you're going to get run down. So, you have to adjust a little bit.
Why I say we have problems here, because, you know, folks come in from the north and out west, and we have a much slower pace of life here. Everybody is not trying to set the land speed record, and, you know, folks from in those areas kind of need to adjust a little bit to our driving speeds, but they don't. And they try to apply northern driving standards to here, and it does not mix well.
Northern drivers are necessarily reckless or even fast. Well, though occasionally you see the Jersey lane change. Oh, there's my exit, but I'm all the way over in the left lane, so I gotta go three or four lanes over to get there. And the Jersey pass. Pull right in front of this car, almost to where you touch bumpers. But, you know, Northerners, I wouldn't really say are aggressive or fast drivers. We just, you know, get out of my way.
Quick phone call there. Yeah, I tell you what. that type of driving, you know, that's not what, that ain't cool here. You know, from left lane to the ramp on the right side, no, And threading it in paper tight in front of between vehicles, no, that's just not safe. So, anyhow, that's what I was talking about, that mix. That up there is normal for those guys. It's not that they go fast, it's just that there's so many cars there. That's what you got to do to be able to get around. But that's not the case here.
Rule of thumb is if you have to merge or turn or exit or into the road, just, you know, be quick about it. I guess you do have to adjust your style a little bit.
Like I said, it was much more laid back here, and I liked everybody's driving here a lot better a few years ago before the big influx.
Even Highway 14 near Gray Court is even starting to get a little bit like that. Gee, guys, one car at a time. But, yeah, I guess you've had a population influx even just within the past 4 or 5 years.
You know, things are growing here so fast, and there's no way the roads can keep up with the inflation of population that's been going on, so, you know, I can't complain too much, but when they fix a road, they should at least project growth 10 years down the road, not just fix it for today.
This is penny wise and pound foolish. We have enough money in the budget to fix potholes, but we don't have enough money to make sure that they stay fixed, or to make a more permanent fix, like maybe, rough up the pavement a little bit and put down a new layer of pavement or asphalt or something to smooth out the road. So we have enough to do short-term work, but, you know, nothing longer-term.
Or they come in and they grind up a road with a big road grinder and use the old road surface as the regrind to create the new road bed, and they widen the road a little bit and then re-tamp it and make it solid and then repave that whole thing. We've been getting quite a bit of that in Spartanburg County lately, and they've been hitting some of the more main roads. And New Cut Road that I live on, they did it about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it's a nice road now. It was in bad shape, but they came in and did that, so they've been doing quite a bit of that. So I'm hoping that there's going to be more of that, and that they're going to get around to doing more roads in Spartanburg County like that. So those ought to be good 5 to 10 year repairs. So, anyhow, I know what you mean about the patch and the potholes, though. There's a lot of that going on in Greenville County.
Going on closer to around here, too. It's costly, but it lasts longer. You got to get that road you know, with the big metal roller thing with the spikes coming out of it, to get in there and grind up the road a little bit so you could basically, you know, repave it properly, which in a few places they have done. Where do I usually go most of the time? 385 exit 30 into Malden. They actually did that reasonably well. But most of the time it's just patch and fill, which is either all we have time for or all we have money for, or maybe this road just doesn't matter that much compared to the road doesn't rank high enough on the importance scale.
True everywhere, but you know, the roads with the most important people and the most tax dollars coming into the counties and the loudest squawk usually get the better roads. So, you know, that's always been true everywhere.
As I said, the New York City area, I've seen a lot worse. I was coming out of JFK onto Nassau Expressway, and I swear I thought I hit something. The car hit a guardrail, or hit a tree, or hit some damn thing. No, it was just a pothole, an extra large one. You know, gee, I thought I would have broken an axle or something. So, they have a bigger problem there because the roads get a whole lot more use. And, you know, there just isn't a lot of time to do a lot of these things. Could you shut down, like, the Van Wyck Expressway for 6 weeks to fix it? You know, shut down all lanes of it. Or shut down the LIE. Or whatever, for a few weeks or months. You can't really do it.
But you can't have it both ways. If you don't shut it down and fix it, it ain't never going to get any good.
True, but I suppose you're right. It's a problem everywhere. Everywhere that has roads that are actually heavily used, which now is starting to be the Greenville area, 8 or 10 years ago, not so much, but, you know, more now.
Well, let's see if we can't give it a break here, see if anybody else wants to pop in with our road dilemma. Any other stations want to pop in with us? Don't want to hog the frequency.
We haven't been on that much, have we? I don't know. I've talked to people on this repeater for an hour or two at a time. You're right. You should take more breaks to let anyone in. Usually late at night, though, I might talk to someone for well over an hour. But, yeah, during the day, let's be nice about it.
I typically try to make myself do that and leave little gaps in there so people can pop in, because I've heard conversations on here where people just get on here and drone on about nothing for an hour and a half at a time, and you couldn't slip a piece of paper between the microphone clicks. So, anyhow, I try to be considerate.
Treat it like it's their own private channel. The typical ham radio person now, I'm guessing, is our age or older, so. But yeah, let me talk for another half hour about my bunions and the pain in my neck, the pain in my knees. You know, I had to go to the doctor last week for this, that, or the other thing. They're old. You got to give them some way to complain.
Well, I've said anything about it at all in a year, so I'm just going to hush up about it. But you're right. Especially the ones that say, you know what? Back in my day, you know, we handled it the right way. Whatever. So, well, anyhow, in the meantime, are you just about ready for the holidays?
Yeah, I've done all my holiday shopping for this year, which is the same holiday shopping I do every year. I mean, there's basically no one left, so it makes shopping easier.
I guess that does make things a little more simple. this year seems to be a double-up year, and I got news for some of them that I bought stuff for, especially my daughter and my son-in-law. I bought for them this year's gifts and next year's gifts all at one whack.
Next year's gifts next year. You just have to, you know, find some way that's fairly well hidden.
Airport, let me get out from behind the airport here real quick, and then I'll be right back.
Now, I guess you were fine before. So, you bought twice the presents this year, which I guess means you're going to put half of them away for next year. You've done two Christmases worth.
I spent for their Christmas on each of them this year would cover the budget for Christmas for them for this year and next year. So next year, it's going to be a little slim for them, but I bought them both something that they really, really, really needed. So, anyhow, next year I'll get them something small and put a card in there and say, hey, remember last year? Yep.
Do that. So, you didn't want to just divide them in half and put half away. See, that's the problem is, when you do something like that, you create you create rising expectations. You know, if anything, you want to create falling expectations. Well, you know, I had a little less money this year, so I couldn't get quite everything you wanted. And then next year, you can keep dropping it down again.
One item a piece, and the one item a piece, like I said, was double the normal budget.
Couldn't realistically divide that in half, so okay. But hey, next year, kids, you know, don't expect the same thing.
That's why I said, get them something small, and then with a card that says, hey, remember last year? Besides, like I said, this is something that each one of them really needs.
That's good. So it's one of those. One size fits all. The thing of it is, unless it's people you know very, very well, how do you know really what to shop for? I wouldn't know what to shop for people even who I've known for years. I'm probably terrible to shop for as well.
See that they're listening right now, and the long and the short of it, I bought my son-in-law, I helped that, and my son-in-law and his wife, my daughter, get into a new house 2 years ago, and the house has a swimming pool. Well, every fall he complains about the leaves getting into the pool. Oh, gosh, gotta go out there and clear the strainers every other day, blah, blah, blah. So, and they have a large dog that has fallen into the pool a couple of different times, and they had to go fish her out. Well, for him, I bought them a pool cover that is one of these things that just, you know, no leaves can get in, and it pulls and stretches tight over the pool. It's an in-ground, and that way, just took care of that problem. They can take a leaf blower and blow the leaves right off the top of the pool cover. So, I'm thinking he's going to appreciate that.
As you were speaking, and I'm thinking, well, a pool. So it's either going to be a pool cover, preferably one of those nice motorized ones where you just flip a switch and it automatically opens or closes. Or it's going to be various pool cleaning tools. Also, there's that automatic pool robot, I think. The robot vacuum for your pool. You know, one of those things. But you're right, better to prevent the leaves from getting in there in the first place.
Yep. And the other, for my daughter, she's got every kind of appliance in the book. She does not have one of these food processors. So we bought her one of those. God doggone, them things are expensive. KitchenAid food processor with the tilt head and the whirly gadgets, and you can put a meat grinder on it. I mean, it'll do everything but walk talking. Whistle Dixie.
Supposed to make it a blender, a mixer, you know, as you said, meat grinder, whatever else you can, whatever other attachments you can put. Well, that's probably good because you'll use it. You know, coffee grinder, whatever else it does.
So, anyhow, never in my wildest dreams when she was younger or in college would I have thought that she would be domesticated cook. Well, lo and behold, she's really getting pretty good.
Important. You know, I never used to bother. I learned how to cook somewhat, but, you know, I could cook for me. I don't think I would really try to host a dinner party. But, yeah, you know, cooking is easy. Well, I don't know. It's not that easy. It depends what you want to make. But, you know, it's a skill everyone should, if not completely master, then at least do relatively well at.
You know, it just all goes back to that old saying, it's what you know. And mechanics, well, they're not that great of cooks. And cooks are not that great of networking specialists. And, you know, everybody has their little niche. And that way everybody fits in and has their skills. And, you know, just so happens that she's a great accountant and cook. So I'm very, very pleased and proud of her.
She can cook the books. Okay, you're right. That's insulting. Best accountants are cooks. What do they call it? Creative accounting. I don't know if in spite of coming from an engineering background, that would be one of the things that would probably, you know, annoy the hell out of me. Especially, it's like, since you can be replaced with a spreadsheet. Well, no, I'm sure she can't. You know, still a very good market for good accountants.
With what she does, she works for Denny's Corporation, and they've got stores all over the U.S., and international, and she handles a lot of the franchisee accounting and stuff, and she's doing a real good job, so I'm proud of her. And well, listen, I'm getting back near the house. I'm gonna go ahead and sign off with you, bud. You try to stay warm tonight, and yeah, everybody else is telling me about you getting into mischief all the time. Merry Christmas, and I will talk to you, I hope, again soon. KN4BWA, I'm clear.
UAKD2BNG, all right. 73s, and Merry Christmas to you, too. I can usually always stay long, warm, and at least at night, because there's always a cat pile on the bed. So, That's the warming blanket for later this evening. But, all right, you stay healthy. And again, you know, if I don't talk to you, happy holidays.